Smart Troopers, get your DC-15 blasters and slap on your buckets. It's time for custom action figure news with Lucas Clones and Tamer. Now blast those clankers. Go, go, go!
Go on, give it everything you got. Make every shot count.
This is gonna be a tough one. I doubt we'll make it through.
All right, folks, well, thank you for joining us again for yet another episode of Custom Action Figure News, brought to you in partnership with Imperial Shipyards. I'm Lucas Clones, better known as Chad, and with me always is my co-host, Tamer, also known as Sean. How is it going today?
It's going. Hello, everyone.
Alrighty, and also, we have a very special guest. You know him on Imperial Shipyards and various other places as Hangar Bay 94. Everybody say hello to Jules. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm fine.
Alrighty, and so obviously we have you on as our special guest because we want to interview you about your great work that you do customizing and doing great graphic artwork, both creative and also on the Imperial Shipyards website. But before we do that, as always, I have to give Tamer a little bit of time to do his little announcement segment that he likes to do so much about the things that are happening on Imperial Shipyards. So Tamer, take it away for that.
All right, thanks, Chad. First off, I would like to talk a little bit about the Imperial Shipyard charity auctions. Matter of fact, Jules is responsible for one of the auctions that we'd like to highlight. It's a custom ARC 170 intruder from his very popular X-Wing Alliance photo novel or webcomic. And basically, you will not find anything like this to buy. It's just phenomenal. If you want to bid on it, all you will have to do is hit in the top left column from the Imperial Shipyard main page, just hit charity auctions, and it will be the first one up at the very top that says ARC 170, and you can get in there and look at all the great pictures. The thing is just beautiful. Jules, as if you don't already know, by the time this interview is over, you'll see that his attention to detail is by far one of the best I've ever seen as far as any internet customizer. And we'll definitely be getting into Jules and his customs here in just a little bit. And I guess, Jules, I would definitely be remiss if I did not thank you personally for making just a phenomenal contribution to the toy drive for Eli.
Thank you very much, Sean.
One more announcement, and then we'll get this thing started because I know you guys got on here to talk Hangar Bay 94, not listen to my announcements. But we have started the Q&A sessions back up. Of course, we started those up last week, and lucky me, I was out all last week, so I did not get our questions in. I do apologize for that, folks, but we are back on the list, and we have joined up with quite a few other Star Wars sites like Rebel Scum, Jedi Temple Archives, among others, and we are going to try to get more bang for our question in that we are going to post our questions and see if any of us have very similar questions. And if we do, then we will change those up and basically make sure that we all submit different questions so we'll get, of course, more answers for folks to read. It's just seems like a win-win. And I have to thank, Paul and Dan for inviting us to be a part of that. It's going to be great fun. Okay, Chad, I'm done.
Alrighty. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the interview part. So, Jules, if you're ready to take some questions, I think we're ready. And since Sean kind of started everything off with the announcements, I guess I'll take the first question. And, Jules, if you don't know, what me and Sean like to do is we kind of trade questions back and forth. So I'll begin one, and then he'll take one. So,
okay, that's cool.
Alrighty, very good. Alright, well, the first question that we got, and this is it's a kind of a common question that we ask, and that is, what got you into customizing along science fiction type lines, Star Wars, or anything else? And Sean has kind of like a bunch of questions here, but yeah, and I'm sure you've gotten a chance to look at them as much as I have. So was there any particular show or movie outside of our main theme of Star Wars that appealed to you?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of Thunderbirds and Space 1999. And I remember seeing 2001 in the cinema when I was probably about six or seven. And that freaked me out completely. So I've really been into science fiction genre since I was a little one, but since as long as I can remember. So that was the start of it all, I suppose.
All right. Well, and so when you first started customizing, what were the first few things that you started to do?
Funnily enough, it wasn't really customizing that I started doing. The first thing I did was when my son started getting into, when I I suppose I kind of forced my son to watch Star Wars, and I got him some Star Wars figures, and I wanted to do you remember that Death Star, like the cardboard Death Star they made years ago? Do you know that one? I think it was it wasn't Hasbro that made it, it was available in the UK.
I remember that one.
You remember
that? Yeah. You remember that? Well, I wanted to buy one of those, and when I saw the price on eBay, I thought, well, I can make one. So I Googled Death Star dioramas or something, and then I stumbled upon Nub's website, and he, you know him, yeah. Well, he makes these incredible, they're incredible, these huge Death Star dioramas that he makes, and he's posted the decal sheets. So you can print them off, and so I built this Death Star. It ended up costing me about five times as much as if I would have just bought the original toy from eBay. But that's what got me started, really.
Oh wow!
That's
very interesting. Yeah, I don't recall seeing that. I might have seen that cardboard Death Star, but that sounds very interesting.
You've missed out on a good one there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll definitely be looking up pictures of it tonight after that. Learn something new every day. So, right. And all right. So, continuing on with Sean's paragraph of a question here. He says, are there any people that inspire you or have inspired you to further your heights in the hobby of customs or graphics?
Chad?
Yes.
Sorry, start that question again, please.
Absolutely, no problem. Yes, we asked that, are there any people, like fellow customizers or graphic artists, that have inspired you to further your heights in the hobby?
Oh, yeah, loads. Absolutely loads. Where do I start? I suppose Luke Skywalker is a guy that I really like his work. He does... he tends to not go for the obvious customs. He'll make normal people. I think the first post that he did on Imperial Shipyards was just a few guys that you'd find in a bar or something, or on some mad planet somewhere. And he photographed them outside. I think if you look at his custom figures post, they're probably the first post there. And they were really good. He's always doing some really good custom figures. Chewie over at Yak Face, and also I think it's JLW515. He did a short photo novel called Vader's Quest, and when I saw that, that just got me hooked on doing photo novels, and then I suppose everything sprung from that, really. And I think more recently, a guy called Sith Fire,
he's
been posting stuff. And I'll tell you what, that is just his stuff is just so unbelievable. It is beyond anything I've ever seen. So you see things like that, and you think, right, I've got to try a little bit harder, really. I suppose at the moment, Sith Fire has had a big influence. I really want to improve and kind of get to a different level there.
So yeah, there's lots of people and lots of really good people around that do such amazing stuff that, you know, when you introduced me, I kind of thinking, you know, are you talking about me? Because there's so many very good people out there that, yeah, I don't really think I'm that good. I think there's just so many good people out there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Jules, and I can just tell you that since me and Sean started doing this podcast, the whole realm of custom action figures has just really kind of blown wide open, and every time you think you've seen everything, someone else pops up, like Sithfire 30, and I think that he is doing stuff that's making every customizer turn their head and say, whoa, you can do that? He's definitely doing that for me.
It either makes you want to give up or improve, one or the other.
Well, yeah, maybe for like a second, but then I look at it and I say, you know what, I can do that, and I just gotta start figuring out how he's doing it, and then I'm gonna do it too. So yeah, that definitely some good names you brought up there. Alright, so the last little part of his first question here, he says he'd love to hear your story of your dad and the boat you restored here. And I remember when you posted that boat too, and I just thought that was just neat. And it was a nice little aside to the normal theme of Star Wars. So would you like to tell that story?
Well, the model boat, yeah. Well, what can I say? My father, he used to make the most amazing things, I suppose. You know, from a kid, he used to be into model railways and stuff like that. And when I was about six, he made me this remote control ship, which I suppose he didn't really make it for me. He made it for him, because I remember taking it out on the local pond, and I don't actually remember playing with it. I remember him doing it and me watching, but it was this amazing old model ship that he built. And then unfortunately, he died about 3 years ago. Coming up to 4 years now, and I was going through my parents' loft and found this boat. They'd been sitting there, must have been for years, and so I took it to my home, and it was stayed in my loft for a while. And then I think it was this time last year, I just decided to put it back together again and try and get it to work. And but I'm not really good at those type of things. He made it all by hand, so I took it to the local model shop, where they kind of got this car battery out and plugged it into the car battery, and it sprung to life. And it was amazing, because, you know, this thing probably hadn't had anything done to it for about 30 years. And they said, you know, he'd used some very good gear when he built it. He used probably the best engines, and it didn't leak. So they said, well, look, all you need to do is put some new remote control gear in it and repair the bits that are broken. And they gave me all the bits and cleaned it up, put the new remote control gear in it, and then took it out one summer's day. And it was an amazing thing, because, you know, my kids love playing with it. I still got it, still use it. It's just amazing to have that legacy, really, and it's an amazing that he built it all by hand. It's not a kit or anything. He just made it out of wood and fiberglass, and just amazing skill he had. Yeah,
very cool, very cool. Yeah, I remember you posted that up there, and I read the story. I thought that was a really cool, very cool story. Kind of like your father started you out maybe with this creative stuff that went into your customizing with that boat.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, he was a very creative guy, from doing sculptures to building the most amazing model railways. He used to do it in his spare time, so I suppose it's since he died that I've really had this creative urge. So I suppose, yeah, it's funny how things turn out.
Yeah, it definitely, creativity seems to run in the family.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Sean, it's your turn.
I like that story. All right, Jules, I've been wondering this about you ever since I met you. Oh, it's been a couple years now. What part of Star Wars, if it be a particular movie, original trilogy, prequels, or are you strictly EU as far as your main emphasis for customizing?
Don't think there is an emphasis, really. Yeah, it's just an outlet for my imagination and for my insane need to waste time and not work, really. I'm an original trilogy fan. I did try to enjoy the prequels. I did try very hard. Sorry, George Lucas, but it's the original. You know, what can I say? My call sign, says it all. Really, Hangar Bay 94. I just, you know, ever since I saw it when I was a kid. They've just been, I suppose, it's weird because, you know, I'm now 43 and, you know, you look back and things seem so long ago, but yet you're still into a film that you saw, you know, when you were 7 years old. It's a very strange thing, but yeah, so my influences, I don't really have any. I just like to paint and be creative, and funnily enough, whenever I watch any of the Star Wars films, I just want to write things down and create stories. And I suppose it's an excuse for buying Star Wars figures, because I don't consider myself as a collector, but I enjoy painting them. I enjoy creating all these stories. So there isn't really a motivation there apart from just to have a bit of fun.
All right. Well, you heard it, Chad. I've got another original trilogy guy on my side there.
Yeah, well, hey, that's fine with me. And we're going to get to see just kind of going on yesterday. We're going to get to see a little bit more depth of that original trilogy when the complete saga comes out.
No.
Don't
agree with you.
No? Well, you don't want to watch any of the deleted scenes or the extra...
I think it's already been done. I think it's already been done. Did you... Sean, you got that DVD I sent out of Adi Wan's...
Yes.
Star Wars. I'm sorry, but... I don't think they've got the guts to do anything like that. And I think I don't think they'll beat it. I'll be very surprised if they do a better job, personally.
Well, hey, Jules, I know we didn't script this, but could you talk just a little bit about that? Because that was one of the most phenomenal re-edits. And from what I understand, this fellow, Adewan, didn't he just do that straight from his own PC and just did all...
Well, I mean, you can describe it, but you can probably describe it as good as me. It's the, I watched it, and I've not. It was like watching a new film. What he did to the Star Wars film was brought it up to date with the rest of the movies. So if you watch them if you watch 4, 5, and 6 together, it doesn't look like Star Wars: The New Hope was made in the early in the mid-70s, and the rest were technologically more advanced. He brought them all right up to date. He brought it right up to date with everything. So you'll watch it, and he's added the most amazing special effects, and he did it all on Photoshop. Wasn't Photoshop? It was After Effects, Adobe After Effects.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch it, and he's done recolored it. He's done all the soundtrack. He's added new scenes, he's added new special effects, and you know, he says, oh, they're just bits of paper that I cut out and, you know, put on. And I understand the process, but how he did it so well is, you know, that was an amazing piece of work, and it really gave me the feeling of watching the film afresh. It'd be interesting to see what they do when they re-release the Star Wars, but you know, that was good enough for me. And the quality was excellent. It was like watching a Blu-ray film. So I was very surprised. It was amazing, really, wasn't it, Sean?
Oh, I have to agree with you, Jules. My wife wondered where I went for a couple days after that arrived in the mail. I'm just thinking, like, if you can remember just the R2 unit and all of the neat little effects he just added to that guy. I mean, I was just sitting there saying, oh, there's a new light. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow, that looks like it's the right color finally. I mean, it's just hundreds and hundreds of new things, and you can tell it was done.
You have to watch it over and over again to see exactly what he's done, because they're so, some of the alterations are so, like in the background or, some things that you'd hardly notice. They're just very subtle, some of the changes, but if you read down the list of the changes that he's made, it's an amazing feat. Amazing what he's done. I really have to hats off to the guy. English guy as well.
Well, I've never heard of that DVD. I would like to have a copy and watch it.
Well, yeah, again, you've not heard of the Death Star, the cardboard Death Star. You've not heard of anyone's Star Wars. Well, after this is an educational show for you, then.
Yes, definitely. Well, there's nothing.
I'm allowed to send out the DVDs. I'll do you a copy.
Oh wow, I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
That's not a problem.
All right. Well, Sean, you still have a question. It's still your go. No, that's okay.
Yeah. I would be remiss with my OT question if we didn't talk a bit, and I know it might be going out of order of some of the questions that we have, but if you have ever seen Hangar Bay 94's custom indoor platform, complete with working LED lights, and just it's canon down to the epitome. And the great thing about Hangar Bay 94's work and his dioramas, of course, the decal sheets and things like that, he's made available just, you know, for nothing. But that particular platform, and Jules, I would love to hear you talk about that just a bit. Is that thing completely breakdownable, so to speak? And I'm not using the right wording, but you make most of your dioramas so you can break them down and store them rather flat, so space-minded individuals like myself can still have these huge, massive dioramas, but yet then when the playtime's over, break them down and tear them apart and do things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah. I have, if you actually assembled everything that I've got, there's too much stuff, and it's embarrassing. So when I do create things, I do have to think about just being able to put them away, because you can't leave these things out. But I do need to build, you know, if I want to do a photo, I just tend to build these things on a large scale. But all they are, generally, if you've seen, if you know that Mon Cal hangar that I did recently, that is really just four large flat pieces of mount board with stickers on them, and there's duct tape at the back, and they just fold flat, and they sit behind a sofa most of the time, and then when I need to do some photography, they come out and they make those dioramas. But they're completely flat. All they are is bits of cardboard, flat cardboard. But when you photograph them, and when you look at them, they look really good. The Endor platform is really, it's just a, it's like a table. There's a hinge in the middle. There are two legs that are made out of drain pipes. I used some other bits from a local builder's merchants. They're just pipe ends, and I had a couple of IKEA storage boxes, which are the feet. And so really all there is there's a large tabletop which has a, like I say, a hinge in the middle. It folds flat. All the wiring is, you can disconnect it. It's on these little plugs that you plug into the base. And so you can literally unplug it, fold it flat. It's, you wouldn't be able to find it. If you walked into my kid's playroom, you'd have to look behind things to find it. It's completely fold flat. Yeah.
That's awesome. And would I still be correct, Jules, in that if they access your YouTube page, you still have, I believe I remember a video of you like connecting those lights and disconnect them. Is that still up there?
Yeah. It doesn't show me pulling it apart, because you need to have a pair of hands to do it, and I don't have two pairs of hands to do the camera shot, and I couldn't ask my wife to photograph film me doing these things. It's still there. It's still there. Yeah, that was good fun. I remember that.
Very cool. Alright, well, I guess it's my turn, and Sean brought up that indoor platform, and that brings me to the next question here that we have, and that is, we want to know that out of all the customizing projects that you've done, what has been your most favorite and what has been your most difficult project?
Favorite one was the Imperial Troop Transporter that I did. I've always loved that that little
Bessie.
Yeah, that one. Well, I kind of repainted it again, and it's in its Imperial form. That's my favourite. I just love that vehicle. There's something about it that is just fun. I remember as a kid, my friend had one,
and I just used to love playing with it, and I always wanted one, never got one, and then I bought one and I ripped it apart. But yeah, that's my favourite of all of my customs. I just love that little thing. It's just so odd. And then the hardest one was definitely the Endor platform, because I built it all from bits and pieces, and I had to figure out how to make it. I'm not a skilled joiner or anything like that. I normally just make model kits, or had done before that. I just knew I wanted to make one, so it just all came together, really.
Well, that,
yeah, so that was the hardest.
That Endor platform, to me, I've looked at that a couple of times, and it just looks like it is just the perfect little setup for all different sorts of really cool camera angles and really great photography on that, which, of course, you've done that. I really admire that one myself.
Yeah, well, I took it out into the forest. We've got this forest near us, and I kind of took it out there. And luckily, no one stumbled upon me while I was doing the photography, otherwise I'd been really embarrassed. But, yeah, it was great fun doing that, going out and stalking around in the forest and finding a place to put this thing and photographing it, setting it all up. It was like being a kid playing with your toys. But, yeah, it was great fun. I'd like to do it again and take some better photographs of it, because since then I've customized, I've painted the AT-AT walker, and I've painted the other one, the little one, the chicken walker. So it'd be great to do another photo shoot with that. Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be half as bad as my buddy Dave. He's known as Vader 9900. He took his when the big AT-AT came out. He grabbed his big AT-AT and his I think he took his AT-ST out to a park one day, and he dragged his daughter out, his teenage daughter out with him, and made her help him carry all this stuff into the park and take pictures and everything. And he's a great photographer himself. So yeah, you wouldn't be as bad.
I have to do it at 7 o'clock in the morning or some ridiculous hour. Just can you imagine?
Yeah,
my neighbors popped up walking their dogs, going, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?" I don't have a hard time trying to explain what I'm doing.
I would revel in it.
Yeah, I know you would.
And I think we'd also be remiss. Not only is the those pictures that he's talking about, the indoor landing platform, but he created this bunker scene that went along with it too. Is that right, Jules?
It's a project I kind of got half did. Oh right. Oh yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was the Hoth playset, wasn't it? Yeah, that's another one of my favourites. I love that because I made it into a night light for my little one. There's lights underneath it, underneath the turret, orange lights, and it's really cool. And that's I've never had to replace the batteries in either that or the Endor platform. These LED lights, I suppose, they just go on forever. But yeah, that was great fun. Great fun doing that.
Mm. Yeah, I like that, to go right along with that indoor platform. Mm. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Chad, can I go?
Yeah, it's your turn.
All right. And I probably know the answer to this question already. My normal question that, we like to ask, some of the customers is, do you have a standard base figure that's your favorite to use? I think I know the answer to that. I think it's probably no. And the same thing applied to vehicles, but do you have like a favorite, action figure, like a basic carded figure, or a vehicle that you just like, oh yeah, I really like to customize that one?
Yes, Sean, you're right. The answer's no.
That's my thought.
No, I'll tell you why. Because of all these fantastic customizers that are out there, and you see something that somebody's done, and it kind of changes the direction that you want to go in. So, no, there isn't really a favorite. I did really like the main character that I did for the Dark Child story. Which was a Django. It was quite a simple one. It was just Django Fett with sideburns and a Han Solo coat, and all his stuff taken off him apart from his belt. And I really, really like that character. And funny enough, I've just bought the parts again, so I'm going to make him again. Just try and do him a little bit better this time.
Oh wow! There's a neat segue into a
segue. I love that. I love where you say segue.
Well,
sorry, that's just so cool. Carry on.
Yeah, there's a forum question today, and I want to say Darth Daddy, Brian, we had him on a past interview, but he is, like me, asking if perhaps we might ever see a new Dark Child series.
Well, you know what, I've got the rest of my life to do this, so yeah, I would like to pick it up again. I really burnt out on that. You've probably got some other questions coming up about it, so I won't go on about it, but yeah, I would like to pick it up again. Yeah, watch this space, I suppose.
So you have the parts needed to make a new Dark Child, correct?
I have a box marked Dark Child figures, and I have boxes marked X-Men Alliance figures, and so there is a box there. That's all I'll say.
Okay, Darth Daddy, you heard that. It gives us some hope.
Yeah, a new hope.
There you go. All right, well, I guess it's my turn, Sean.
Go for it.
So, now we talked a bit about your customs, Jules, and we want to talk also, we've told you we want to talk about your graphic work. And so, just to start off the conversation on that, what got you into creating Star Wars or other sci-fi type graphics?
Funnily enough, it wasn't Star Wars graphics that started me off on it. I had to make some brochures for my business. So I used Adobe Elements to do the artwork for my company brochures. And that's what got me familiar with working with Photoshop. So making the transition to do photo novels, I kind of knew the basics. So really, it was, I suppose you could say it was Chewy at Yak Face that got me doing these things, because before that it was just really when I was a kid I used to draw Star Wars ships and spaceships and stuff, but there was a long gap between that and doing the graphics, the Star Wars graphics that you see me doing now. So it's your fault, Sean, for getting me to do all these wonderful graphics for the shipyards. So yeah, there's the story there.
I am so guilty.
You are.
You have Imperial Shipyards looking like $1 million, my friend.
Oh, yes. I definitely agree with that. Yes, and definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sean, it's your turn.
Yeah, and while we're, you know, talking about graphics and you know me, Jules, I jump all over the place. A lot of things pop in my head. Just the banners and the avatars. Jules has a shop that he opens up from time to time, and he has created some of the most unique form avatars and form signature banners that I have ever seen. Jules's graphic work, personally, I've never seen anything like it, and I've told him before, and I'll tell the world now, how George, if you're listening, how you have not grabbed this guy up and put him to work in one of your creative endeavors as far as Star Wars goes is beyond me. But I know, Chad, you have just a kick avatar and banner based on this guy, and I know I've been fortunate to have a couple, but just, Jules, that is just an awesome service, and I know, you know, I speak for everyone at the shipyards. Want to publicly thank you for doing that for us all. They're just awesome.
Well, it's a real pleasure. I mean, you know, for people to ask me to make them a banner and an avatar, I take that as a real compliment, and it's quite a personal thing to create these things for people. So yeah, I take it very, very seriously, and I really enjoy doing it. So, and you know, it's a very small space to work with, and it's difficult sometimes to try and do 10 clone avatars, and banners. But yeah, it's something I really love doing and get a real kick out of, especially when I go and look at the forums, and you know, you scroll down the page, and there's my artwork all over the place. It's really fantastic to be able to do it. So I have to just thank all the people that asked me to do their banners and avatars. It is a real pleasure, and like I say, it's a real personal thing. So yeah, I get a lot of pleasure from it.
Well, Jules, you know, you said that it's a real personal thing, and I think you, when it comes to the avatars and banners, you definitely have a knack of looking at the work of the particular person and putting together an avatar and a banner that really speaks about that person. I mean, obviously, for mine, I just told you a couple things, and you definitely whipped up something that definitely represents me, and I'm actually looking at the page right now on Imperial Shipyards for the CAFN Q&A, and I'm looking at Darth Daddy's banner, and that one, boy, I'll tell you, if it doesn't sum up Darth Daddy and Elias, I don't know what else would, because that's them to a T.
Cool. Well, I'm glad I've never met them, so I'm glad that I was able to do that, you know. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, these things just kind of spring into my head. They evolve. I've been wanting to do a video of like a speeded up video of how these things come together. I haven't done one yet, but they it's just an evolution that it just happens. I sit down and start, and you know, sometimes I get nowhere and have to scrub it all out and start again, but yeah, that's how it works. It's all in there. It's all just evolves, really. Yeah,
that would be a fascinating video to watch. I would watch
yeah
that.
What's this mate that we done?
All right, Sean, your turn.
All right, it just gave me another thought popped in my head. Jules, I would be correct in thinking, once again, refer back to Jules's YouTube channel. You do have a couple graphics tutorials up there, don't you?
Do I? I don't remember.
I want to say, because, of course, folks, if you've seen any of the graphics I've created, the inspiration behind them, of course, has been Jules or Hangar Bay 94. I have learned so much from him in my time with him on the shipyards. And the only reason, you know, you get even halfway decent graphics from me at all is because of Jules. So everyone probably ought to thank him for that, too. There's definitely a pre-Jules time for my graphics and then a post-Jules time, so appreciate that too, Jules.
Yeah, you have. You've come on leaps and bounds. You'll be taking over from me soon.
Okay. Yeah, right.
But there's some very good tutorials on YouTube for people that want to get into Photoshop. So it's a really good resource for anybody that wants to do these things. I've learned a lot from tutorials on YouTube.
Well, it's just so nice because, you know, Jules fits right in with, you know, Imperial Shipyard's whole idea. And, you know, Chad, I know you do too. It's just like we're all out to try to help people in their hobby, whether it be graphics or customizing or tips and techniques. And, you know, I've been around some folks who, you know, hoard their little secrets and their tips like... you know, and they really are valued treasure, but you guys are definitely willing to open up the vaults and share everything you have. And, you know, speaking from someone who's really not an action figure customizer or even a great graphics person, just someone with just a love for all of that, I mean, it's really neat to just kind of set back sometimes and say, wow, you know, they know how to do this, they're willing to share it, so that's just great. But back into... your customizing and your graphics. Was it, you know, it's kind of the chicken or the egg question. How did this evolve? Did you create Great Customs and then start the graphic novels? Or, you know, dioramas and said, ooh, that'd be cool to take a couple pictures. What got you into creating your wonderful graphic novels, Jules?
It was, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the other sites, but when I first started...
sure you are.
All right, okay, well, Yak Face, really. There's, like I said before, there's Chewie did his Rycroft novel, and it was JLW515 when he released this Vader's Quest photo novel, which was done in a kind of comic book style. That was just had fun written all over it. I just thought it was brilliant, and it just inspired me to do something similar. I started this forum photo novel on Rebel Scum, which kind of went really well. Everyone that took part had to do their own artwork, but a couple of people dropped out, and it got a bit, you know, I just went a bit, people, yeah, like I say, people let me down. So
I thought, what the hell, I'll do it myself. So that was when the Dark Child story came along. And so that is really when I started doing graphics with my work. And then customs came on quite a while after that, really. I did the custom vehicles and the dioramas, but figures I tended to stay clear from. And it's only been quite recently that I've been doing figures. Not that long at all, really. So the figures came last.
Well, I know one thing, that gal I saw you post pictures of today was just spot on phenomenal.
Yeah, well, that was Sithfire's fault. Again, he's seeing his work has kind of pushed, made me kind of come out of my comfort zone, and do a little bit more detail and not be afraid to try new things, really. So yeah, that's the reason. Seeing his work has really pushed me forward on that side of things. Yeah.
Hey, Jules, I got a quick question about that lady. I was reading Galactic Conflict last week, and I left off at the part where Fatty had put in a little blurb about a woman watching the clones from afar. Is that the woman?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Very cool. So we get to see what she looks like. I was wondering, because I was trying to catch up on it earlier this afternoon, and I was trying to find out if that was her, but there we go. Very cool.
Well, just start from where I've started from now, because I've kind of read through it. I've had to read through it all again, and there are some inconsistencies that I need to correct on it. But yeah, that's going to be my project for the moment anyway, to try and get that kind of going, because it is a brilliant story, in essence. I love the story. It's good.
Yeah, the shipyarders have written it, haven't they, Jules?
Yeah, it's a combination of a few people, really. I started it off, and Pat kind of continued it. A guy called G West, who hadn't been around for a while, I sent him an email just to say, look, you know, I'm hoping to pick this up again. And he contacted me and said, yeah, that's really good. And so he's seeing his work come to life. And a couple of other people, a guy called Darth Neo, had a go. So yeah, it kind of took a direction. It kind of started to go a little bit awry at the end. So I'm going to try to correct it, put it back together again, and hopefully it can move forward. But again, these are all now long-term projects. I'm not in any rush to do these things. I want to get them right. You know, I just want to have fun with it. And it's such a good story. It's like 50s sci-fi. Like old Doctor Who stuff. There's some great stuff in there. So yeah, I really want to move that one forward.
I really like the idea of the small unit of clones kind of stuck on the planet for the year,
yeah.
and then what, you know, just see what they're going to get into, because you know something's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, but that whole concept of these guys stranded in the depth of nowhere. Really, and then all hell breaking loose in the rest of the galaxy. It's and this mad big robot somewhere, and this other guy it's just, they're great characters, and I think it's such an interesting story that it deserves to have some attention paid to it, really.
All right, well, I guess it's my turn, right, Sean?
Go for it. Yep, it's on you.
Okay, well, I think maybe you've already spoken about this, but we're going to pick it up. What was your first graphic fiction project?
Yeah, it was this forum novel that I did for Rebel Scum, and I don't know the name of it anymore. I've forgotten it, but that was the first one, and then I did Dark Child.
All right.
Yeah, Dark Child was the first one that Jules literally blew my mind with. It was right about that time that Jules and I met, and I think the thing about Jules is he makes sure each avenue is correctly done, whether it be the custom figure or the vehicle or the background or the storyline. That's when, Jules, I guess you were the one that really got me interested, in graphic fiction. And I think what really blew my mind with that whole Dark Child series was when you created the movies. How in the world did you do that?
Yeah, I could have killed myself doing those. I don't know. I think it was an attempt to try and get more interest in the story, because the problem with doing graphic photo novels or anything like that on these forums is it's a bit of a niche product. Not that many people transfer from the figures forum to the photo novel forums, which is strange really, because they do show, you know, a lot of customs in them, so it seems odd that there isn't more interest. But it's a labor of love, and I just really wanted to see what I could do to try and bring these things, give these things a bit more action. And I got myself into it, and it was so hard to get out of it. I ended up burning myself out. You know, you can spend hours and hours and hours on one element of this thing, and you just sit at a screen waiting for the bar to go to the end to say this special effect has been done, or, you know, every frame you've got to touch things up. And that's why, you know, when I was talking about Adiwan, his work was so amazing, because I know what he had to put into it. It's not easy. It's really difficult. Not easy to achieve.
Well, I just got a rather nice message from Brian Darth Daddy. He says that he still rewatches it in his vehicle all the time. And I know I go back and see that. I love that scene where Bessie is being chased. I don't know how you did that.
I'd probably have a lot of trouble doing it again. You have to use, funnily enough, you have to use two different programs. I used a program called, let me just get it. It's Pinnacle Studio 12 to do a lot of the work, and then there's a program called FX Home Effects Lab Pro. And you have to switch between the two programs, and you know it's really difficult because you have to use one file format for one, another file format for another. It takes up a huge amount of your data storage because everything's uncompressed. So, you know, you can do one little bit, and it's like 4 gig just for one small section. Man. So before you know it, your hard drive's full of crap. So, you know, you have to keep your eyes on everything. It's a really difficult thing to do. But Darth Daddy, thank you. But you shouldn't be driving and watching my films at the same time. Yeah.
I'm sure he's probably pulled over while he's doing
I'm ashamed.
That.
Yeah. Hopefully he has. Yeah.
Well, Jules, you were talking just a minute ago about how the people in the forums, you know, people who customize figures usually stick to that forum, and only a few really transfer over to the graphic fiction. And I have to say, you know, I've mostly stuck to the custom figure forum because that's what I do. So, you know, I go there and I look at what everybody else is doing, and then if I get an idea or whatever, or I have my own ideas, and I post them. But I'm definitely crossing back over to the... I'm not crossing back over, but I'm starting to cross over to the graphic fiction side because of artists like you... And I want to get more into it and see, you know, I make all these custom figures, and kind of it's like, well, I've made all these, and what else can I do with it? And I take really, you know, dio photograph shots of them and stuff, but you're definitely taking it to a whole other level. And so I'm new to your work, and I'm not as familiar with it as some of maybe the other shipyarders are, but I definitely am making it a plan to get into looking at all of that stuff from you and a lot of the other graphic fiction artists.
Well, if you're a customizer and you kind of got... That's exactly how I felt. I kind of doing these figures and I'm thinking, you know, once I've painted them, I don't really put them on the shelf. They kind of paint them and then they go in a box. So, you know, you've got to do something with them. And it's great to use your imagination. And you can have some fun. It's just about having fun. I'm not going to force people to read my stories, but... You know, go and have a look at the X-Wing stories that I've done. You don't have to read them. You can just look at the pictures. It's just great fun. I just love it. I love doing them. So, yeah, it's, you know, if you do your figures, it's nice to, interesting to think up stories for them.
All right, this is a perfect place for me to ask you. I bet you'll be able to guess who is asking this question, Jules. Mm-hmm. This question is from a forum member. Would you ever consider tackling any of the X-Wing novels into photo novel form? And there's a little aside that says the only acceptable answer is yes.
Yeah, I know who that is.
The answer to that is, well, look, there's so many things that I'm doing that I have to draw the line somewhere, so I'm going to let him down. But there is, you know, there's a story that has popped up on the yards that I've, you know, just came about through doing some customs called Apocalypse, which actually could tie into Galactic Conflict with some of the characters, so everything could tie together. But there's a book that I read a long, long time ago called Stainless Steel Rat. I don't know if you know that series. If you haven't, then that's great, because there's a character in that that would slot into the Star Wars universe so well. So I'd probably do that first, which will probably take me till I'm dead. So, you know, there's not enough hours in the day. I do have a day job, so yeah, it'd be great. There's lots of things I'd love to. I read the Millennium Falcon book. It's a book called Millennium Falcon, and that was another great story that I'd love to do as a photo novel. But again, you know, I haven't got all the time in the world to do these things, and it would take forever. So, I could do scenes. Like, I was thinking maybe people could pick a scene from a book, and I could just do that scene, you know. So maybe I could do that.
Okay, I guess I won't tell you his comment he made then after hearing your answer.
Yeah, I know the comment. You just can't say it on air.
I know.
He's a lovely guy. I love him today.
Yeah, I do too. I would love to hear how the PC game X-Wing Alliance became such a big part of your work too.
I'm glad you asked me that question, because I love that game. The only way to describe it is it's like being put into the Star Wars movie. When I played the game, you get that sense of I just got totally immersed in it, and I've never had that experience before playing a video game, and I've never had it since. It's a complex game to learn to play, but if you do get your head around it, it's very rewarding. And funnily enough, there's still a forum for the game. There's still people doing mods for it. So yeah, it's a shame that LucasArts don't pick it up again and revisit that genre, because it's amazing to play.
I know I still have my copy.
Well, you need to pick it up, because it's a great game. It builds up really slowly, and there's subtle moments in it that you kind of think, wow, this is incredible. There's a bit where the first time you bump into an Imperial cruiser, and you have to run away from it, because it appears and you have to get out of there, and you really do feel the kind of, oh my god, there's this Star Destroyer just turned up, and you want to have a look at it, but you can't because there's all these TIE fighters coming at you, and it's amazing. It just really gives you this kind of these feelings, that gut feelings, that, you know, gosh, I've got to get out of here. So it's great, brilliant game. Yeah.
Well, and I think folks need to understand, this was back, you know, we're talking Windows 95 platform here.
Yeah, you need an XP machine. You can't play it on Windows 7. I think some people have figured out how to do it, but I've not. So I've got an old XP machine next to me that is just for that game.
I know all of those games just blew my mind, because, I mean, around that time, of course, all these youngsters say, what in the world is this old geezer talking about? The flight sims were simply that. I mean, you got in, you know, it was like a plane, and you steered it and you shot a little bit. But this particular series of flight sims, I mean, they made like a TIE Fighter series and the X-Men series, and there was story. So it's such a good story that went along with the flight sim, wasn't there, Hangar Bay?
Well, the final one, I didn't really get into the others. I didn't think the graphics were up to it. But this one, the X-Wing Alliance game, I think it was just good enough that the graphics were believable. You can mod the game. You can upgrade it, because there's so many easy ways that you can add better graphics to it. And the story, it's story-driven. And it's a brilliant story, as you probably know if you read the X-Wing story, which I'm doing. There's some great characters in it, and it takes place in between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and you get to see, there's certain missions in the game where you actually get to see how Luke Skywalker got hold of the Death Star plans, for example, because you help him do it, and the rescue of the prisoners from Hoth, which I've not got to yet. And there's some fantastic missions, and you get to help the Rebel Alliance win the war. So, you know, what could be better than that?
Definitely.
Not much in my book.
No, I'd recommend anyone play the game.
Well, I guess I gotta look on eBay for a copy.
And get an XP machine.
Well, I still have XP on mine.
Ah, there you go.
So I'm good on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's my turn. So, out of all your graphic fiction that you've done, Jules, what would you say, if you can pick, would be the most rewarding that you've done?
Definitely the X-Wing story. I've done some fantastic... I think I've done some amazing work on that. There are some really good chapters. There's one called Back to... What's it called? Back to Rendezvous or something. And that was a really good chapter. I really enjoyed doing that one. That's my favourite. I think I've done it justice, I think. So, yeah, the last chapter that I did was really tough, which is why I've taken a break, because it took me a long time to put that together. I'd not done a kind of fight scene between, you know, there was a bit where I had the rebel troops. They were boarding an Imperial ship, and I'd not done that kind of action sequence before, so it took a lot of thinking out to do. So it did take a lot out of me, staying up to 4 o'clock in the morning doing this thing and then going to work at 7. You tire out pretty quick. So yeah, but that I think is good. And that part of the story I had to write myself, because that happened. That, you know, you're in the game, you're flying the X-wing, and all this is going on while you're shooting TIE fighters. So, you know, I had to think about what was going on. So that was all written by me, really.
Well,
that chapter was called Storm Unit. Am I correct, Jules?
It was. Yeah, Storm Unit have a big part in what goes on in the Return of the Jedi. They actually stole the Imperial shuttle that the Lando on Endor, cool. I believe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of your X-Wing Alliance is what I'm getting into, and I'm just started to read the first of the few chapters, and one of the things that I've noticed that I really like about it is how you take action figures and through your ability to use Photoshop, they really just kind of, you forget that they're action figures, and they kind of just kind of, you know, come alive, and it's more than just, you know, you've seen other people online making, you know, comic books using action figures and word bubbles, and it's just so much more than that. It really has a theatrical feel to it.
I suppose I have to get it like that. If I was a good enough artist, which I'm not, I'd be drawing it and doing it like Dark Horse comic, but I'm not that good, so it's the only way for me to produce something that I think is acceptable visually. So I'm just trying to make it look as realistic as I can, because that's where I want to be. That's where how I would like to make it.
Well, you can argue with you on that whole not being a great artist with your hands part. I've seen some of your early drawings.
Can't draw faces. I can't draw people. I'm useless at it. If I practiced, I probably could, but, you know, I didn't. I'm not that good. So figures will do, and it's more fun.
All right, speaking of, we normally like to give our person we interview the chance to talk about one tip or technique that they think would be of great use to, you know, our customizer listeners. You have quite a few I'd love to hear about, from your great weathering effect that, you know, you showed on your Millennium Falcon. And I think you also did a walker that way, too.
I did.
And then there's your great dioramas that you build, you know, using decals. I mean, that just saves so much space.
Where do you want to start? What would you like to know?
I would like to know about the weathering. Can you describe that process a little bit?
Okay, I can describe that. There's a reason for that. That all came about because, obviously, I had this big Millennium Falcon that I bought in inverted commas for my child, for my youngest one, and when you get it's quite new looking, and as we all know, the Millennium Falcon is a piece of junk, so it had to be weathered. I was waiting for the opportunity. However, my wife said, you're not going to
touch that ship. It belongs to your son, so you're not going to do it. So they went on a little trip down the road to see my mother-in-law,
I
had 2 hours to weather it. I didn't have that much time, so I just had to do it really quickly. So I got this paint. It's a Revel acrylic paint called Anthracite. I've done a tutorial on this, and it's just one color. You get a bowl of water, you get quite a big brush, and you just apply it in sections, and you use kitchen towel to rub it off. So what happens is you water down the paint to a certain degree, and the paint really just kind of flows into all the nooks and crannies, and where you wipe it off, it comes off. And I whatever material that Millennium Falcon is made from, it's perfect for that kind of paint, because once it's applied and once the paint dries, it doesn't come off, so you can't scratch the paint off. When you weather it, it's done, and it's so easy to do as long as you put the paint into the little nooks and crannies. That's where you have to apply most of the paint, and it looks really good. And also the way you brush the paintwork, you've got to do it in the direction that the weathering would go. So just look at the original ship and look at my tutorial and give yourself a couple of hours and a big bit of newspaper so you don't get any paint all over the place, and 2 hours later you've got a really cool weathered Millennium Falcon.
Okay, I've got to ask, Jules, what happened after the 2 hours was over and your wife and son came back from your mother-in-law's?
My wife is so used to seeing me with toys on the floor that she kind of looked at me, gave me that kind of pursed lips, and then carried on.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
I think I've seen that look a few times. I think I've gotten that look a few times from my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to suffer for our childish behavior.
Yep. Well, all right. So, we're already at an hour, boys.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. We're actually at 101:30 right now as I speak. So, I guess we got time for maybe one more question, Sean. If you wanted to pick from the ones that are left, we do have about a half a dozen or more left, and then we got to give out our contact info and everything like that, so that we can wrap it up.
Well, maybe we just give it to Jules. Jules, is there anything that we didn't cover that you would think would be great information for our listeners?
And no, I think we've covered everything. I just would like to just thank yourself and all the people at the Imperial Shipyards for making it the place that it is, really. You know, it's the place to go for me, where I can show off my work, and to get all these comments from people is fantastic. So I just have to thank everybody at the, you know, who posts comments and gives me the encouragement to carry on. It's a great opportunity to just have some fun. So yeah, that's all I can say. And also about Eli's the charity auction that we're having with my art fighter. I want that to find a good home and get lots of money for Eli's family. So yeah, focus on that one. And again, thank you for having me on your show. It was a real pleasure.
Pleasure was ours.
Oh, Luke Skywalker is chiming in at the last minute. He wants us to ask his question.
Can I ask Luke a question first?
Oh, reverse. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I do you know what? I don't know his first name, so if you can PM me with
L-E. It's L-E.
It's not L-E. He's got a name. I don't know it. He knows me. He knows my name. I want to know his name. And it's embarrassing. It's like, you know, when you go to a party and it's someone that you've bumped into before and you don't know their name. You're just thinking, God, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to just avoid them all night? So, no, he needs to PM me with his name, because it's embarrassing now. So far away, what did he want?
Oh, I think we did. I think Sean's right. I think we did ask his question. Let's see. Let me just double check here.
Yeah, we'll pull it up real quick.
I'm doing the same, so we're racing now.
Yeah. We'll run back up.
Your computer's probably faster than mine.
Actually, I think it is. I'm almost there.
He says, of all the amazing things that have come out of a hangar bay, what is your favorite thing to do? Vehicles, figures, dioramas, web novels, wallpapers, or banners for everyone on the ever-so-popular You've Been Hangar Bayed. You are amazing, my friend.
Yeah, that was good fun. It all depends. I get, you know, I don't know if everyone gets this, but I kind of get this creative, you know, I just kind of, things get a bit, I get bored of certain, oh, hey, thanks, Luke, for that. I've just got his first name. My son's the same name, so it's easy to remember. I get bored sometimes of doing the same thing, so one minute I could enjoy doing banners, the next minute I can enjoy doing photo novels. It's nice to be able to switch between different things. So at the moment, I'm really enjoying doing custom figures, which I don't normally like to do, but I'm kind of getting into that at the moment. But I think probably the most enjoyable thing is doing the movies. Seeing those come to life was the most brilliant thing that I've done. The Dark Child movies, definitely. You know, when I watch them, I get amazed that I did them, and it was a real achievement, and I love them. I think they're brilliant. So they're my favourite things I've done.
Very cool, very cool.
I just watched them last week.
Ah, thank you. I watched them on the odd occasion. I do. I kind of go, oh, how did I do that? They're great. I love the music, and the music, listening to the music is great. Music's always a really important part of these things.
And guess what I have for you, Jules?
Surprise me.
I have Mr. Sprywalker's first name.
I do as well. He sent it to me.
Oh, good. All right.
Thank you. Yes. Esmeralda. Esmeralda Spry.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
How do we close it on that, Chad?
I don't know. All I can say is I have a couple of requests for fans of CAFN. We are at, I think, 32 fans on the Facebook page, and so my request is to, if you haven't already, if you're out there listening, please go to our Facebook page and just like the page, so that I would like to see, maybe by the end of this month or the next month, us have 100 fans. I think that would be awesome, don't you, Sean?
Oh, love it. That would be great.
I will release a load of decal sheets if we get to 100.
Oh, wow.
Oh!
Up in the ante on us. Thank you.
Yeah. There'll be a download a diorama from me if we get to 100.
Oh, wow. Very cool. And while we on that note, I do want to thank you also for the graphic for the CAFN, the button. That is probably exactly when I was trying to come up with what I wanted to look like, that's exactly what I pictured. So thank you very much for that.
Glad to be of service.
Alrighty, well, well, thank you very much, Jules, for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure. We learned so much from you, as always. And if you want to contact Jules, also known as HagerBay94, where can we find you?
You can't, because I'm going to be going to bed now, but it's 1 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can find me. You know where to find me. I'm on the yards.
There you go. All right, and if you want to find Mr. Tamer, where can you find him?
That'd be Tamer at ImperialShipyards.net. Hey, Jules, thanks for staying up late for us.
It's a pleasure.
Alrighty, folks, that's going to do it. And if you have any questions for me, you can find me on the yards. I'm Lucas Clones. And also, you can email me at chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com. So, from everybody, thank you very much for listening. And until next time, may the force be with you. Bye bye.
You have just listened to Custom Action Figure News, a podcast by Lucas Clones and Tamer. Previous casts can be found by hitting the Custom Action Figure News button on the main page of ImperialShipyards.net or by visiting LucasClonesCustoms.blogspot.com. Let us know what you think, or send in your burning question via email to chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com.
or tamer@imperialshipyards.net, you could hear your email on the next cast. Custom Action Figure News is neither affiliated with, sponsored, nor endorsed by Lucasfilm or Star Wars, which are trademarks of their respective companies. Stay tuned for the next cast of Custom Action Figure News, dedicated to spreading the good news of customizing to the fans, by the fans, and for the fans.